verse 6, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, which are our key verses for the entire series. Then we're going to be going over to Ephesians chapter 5. So if you are following along in your Bible, now let me just mention that Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read it from a paraphrase, from the Message paraphrase. And so you'll be able to see it on the screen, but I don't imagine that many of you are carrying the Message Bible with you today. So let's look at Zechariah. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, read with me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then in verse number 10, and we'll get it up on the screen there just in a couple of moments. Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. And then finally, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 4 in the Message. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, can you guess what I'm going to preach on today? Christians have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Notice this last part. Thanksgiving is our dialect. My subject for today, small things that change your life, I want to talk about Thanksgiving, our dialect. It's the language that we should speak. And so we're going to pray, and then we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak it into our hearts. And I pray that you will allow me to speak your word with faith, with anointing, with authority, and with compassion. Lord, I pray that you will speak into our hearts today. I pray that you will challenge where we need to be challenged, that you will encourage where we need to be encouraged. And Lord, that above everything, your spirit would speak to us today and move in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, and you may be seated. The big idea in this entire series has been this statement, and you'll see it on the screen. It's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. It's often the small things nobody sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. I think it's fitting on Thanksgiving Sunday that our subject is the tongue or the words that we speak, the language that we use. Because we use our voices, our language to express our thanks to God for everything that He's done. But we also use our language, our voice, to express our thanks to those in our lives that we often forget to thank, to simply say thank you for all that you've done. And so today, I was thinking about language, and of course, many of you here are multilingual. You speak many different languages. Today, I want to talk about the language that we speak. I want to talk about the condition of our hearts. And I want to talk about the importance of the words that we use. Now, it's interesting. A person's inflection in speaking can tell you a lot about where they're from. I am from New Brunswick. As you may notice, there are some terms that I still use after 28 years in Montreal that will leave somebody scratching their head because I'm from there. If you are from the West Indies, there are expressions that you will use that leave me scratching my head sometimes. Inflections. We have different accents. We have different expressions. our inflection and our accent will often tell you where we are from. I've noticed even in French, and I speak a version of French, a dialect of French called Fringlish. You know, when we were doing the building project, one of the engineers was from the Saguenay. I discovered that he speaks with a very different accent than anybody I'd ever heard before. I had a friend who attended here years ago who was from the Beauce. And he had a different accent from the Saguenay and from Montreal and from anywhere else. Inflections can tell you where a person is from. If you talk to Brother George, he doesn't mind if I signal him out. He's from Great Britain. I can't even do it. He's from Great Britain. That's a horrible, horrible, horrible. Forget it. You can tell where I'm not from. You can tell a lot about where somebody is from. You can tell a lot about where somebody is and possibly where they are headed by the inflection and the language that they use. I think that this morning, from a really small principle, what seems like a small thing, that some of you, if you'll apply this today, it's going to change your life. This will be life-changing because of what God will do in your life today. Last week, we talked about our thoughts and why our thoughts matter so much. Because our thoughts influence and form our words. Our words influence our actions. Our actions become habits. And out of habits, we form our destiny. All these things are important. King Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse number 21, said this. This is New Living. The tongue can bring life or death. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Did you ever notice that many of the problems that you run into in your life are the direct results of words that you have said or didn't say? Or the way you said the words. Language matters. The tongue can bring death or life. The King James says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. The words that we speak, if you're taking notes, write this down. The words that we speak can be life-giving words, or they can be life-taking words. The choice is up to you. The words that you speak can build your relationship, can build your marriage, can build your relationship with people around you, or they can be so destructive that it's like a nuclear holocaust in your relationships. The words that you speak. When there is conflict, you can choose by your words to either put water on the flames or to throw gasoline on the flames. Your choice. Words matter. As a matter of fact, the writer of Proverbs would say that a soft answer turneth away wrath. He also talked about how that where there is no kindling, the fire goes out, speaking of the talebearer. Words matter. Here's another important thought for today. If you want to change the life that you have, you need to change the words that you speak. I told you, small things that make a difference. One of the most powerful things you can change is your language, the words that you speak, the attitude that you speak them in. Let me ask you today, if you take an audit of your last week, and I'm not going to ask you publicly, or I don't want anybody to say, but I want you to think about what percentage of your words are life-giving this past week, and what percentage would you guesstimate are life-taking. Life-giving, life-taking. I want you to think about that just for a second. Because small things make a big difference in the life that we live. James, and maybe if you're new to the Bible, you've never heard of James. James was a brother of Jesus, a half-brother of Jesus. Some scholars believe that James was one of the best evidences of the divinity of Christ that you find. Imagine this. At first he didn't believe. Then he began to follow Jesus and became an apostle. And I want you to think about it. What would you have to do to convince your brother that you were God? Think about that. And James went on to be a martyr for the cause of Christ, to lose his life. And this is what James said when he talked about small things that make a big difference. In James chapter 3, verse number 3, he said, "We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire." A well-crafted speech can inspire a crowd to do massively good things. But there's a flip side. That words can also inspire people to reach the lowest depths of their lives, to do things that they would never imagine. There is power of life and death in the tongue. Let me give you an example. In a marriage that is struggling, I can guarantee you that there will be a lot of life-taking words. On the other hand, if you show me a marriage that is doing well, I guarantee you that you will find life-giving words. The words that you speak in your relationships. Now, you'll have to pardon me if I get down to meddling here today. But the words that you speak in your relationships determine the health of your relationship. Hear me this morning. In your marriage, what kind of words are you speaking? Are you speaking life-giving words? You know, everybody loves to be complimented. Everybody loves to hear something good that they've done, and everybody likes for somebody to say thank you. Hey guys, if your wife cooks you a great meal, don't just grunt and get up from the table. Take time to say thank you and then help clear the table. You weren't supposed to say amen to that. She said, "You do. Thank you." Sorry, if you're a guest here, I have this kind of sense of humor that's, anyway. Or are you speaking life-taking words? Why can't you be more like my brother or my father? Or why can't you be more like my mother? And you can drive a wedge in your relationship because you are speaking life-taking words. You know what? If you struggle in relationships as a whole, if you keep driving people away and wondering why people don't want to be around you, check the words that you speak. I told you I'm going to get down to meddling and straightforward here today. Check the words that you speak. Are you all about me, my, I? Or are you building other people up by the words that you use? It's really quiet here. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 18. I'll let Solomon preach for a minute. In the New Living, he said, "Some people make cutting remarks, You know, I like sarcastic humor, but sarcasm gets old. And if you're continually cutting people down, they're not going to stay around. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. They bring togetherness. They bring wholeness and completeness. What kind of words do we speak? Are we speaking life-giving words that heal, or are we speaking life-taking words that cut down and destroy? Proverbs 15 and verse 4 said, gentle words are a tree of life, and a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. I guarantee that almost everybody here, if not everybody here, have had times in your life when your spirit has been crushed by life-taking words. There are some of you that still struggle with things that were said to you when you were a child or in your teenage years, where somebody said, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never be anything, you'll never do anything, and you believed it. That's the power of words. And every once in a while, it still flashes back like a haunting memory that comes back. That is the power of life-taking words. The words that we speak. I can't stand you. You're stupid. On the other hand, you may have been blessed by life-giving words. Words like, I'm proud of you. I'm thankful that God put you in my life. I appreciate you and what you're doing. Those are life-giving words. And brothers and sisters, let me speak to those of you who have children in your homes. You know, we have two daughters. They're grown now. They're adults. And, you know, that's a different dynamic and all that. But, as they were growing up, I know children can be frustrating. But we need to be careful that in our homes that we speak life-giving words to our children. That we give them a healthy self-image because they know that mom and dad speak healthy words into my life and they believe it. You have an opportunity to make a difference. If you're a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, you have an opportunity to make a difference, to inspire with life-giving words. And then let me just take a step further. What kind of words do you speak to yourself? I've met people who, because of their family background and because all they heard when they were growing up was, why can't you be and why aren't you and you're not as good as, they struggle to believe in themselves. And they tell themselves things like, you're going to blow it. You blow everything, you're going to blow this one too. They tell themselves things like, you're no good, your life's always going to be bad. Everybody else can succeed, but you can't. And the problem is, what we tell ourselves, we believe. And what we believe shapes how we act. And how we act shapes our habits, and our habits shape our destiny. I've come here today. I haven't come here just to rant. I haven't come here just to try to put everybody down. I've come here today to tell you that what you tell yourself is so important. You see, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, you can say, I'm going to be defeated. I can't make it. I can't do it. I can't succeed. I can't be a conqueror. Everybody else can. Or you can begin to inspire yourself with words like this. I know that God is with me. I know that God is on my side. I know that God is working all things together for my good. I know that I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. There are so many promises of the Scripture that you can tell yourself. If God be on my side, I will not fear what man shall do to me. When you begin to talk to yourself words of faith instead of doubt and fear. See, you have a choice. You know, I know about the power of words and inspiration. Because sometimes you have to make a decision, I will not repeat the cycle of previous generations. You have to do that. You have to begin to tell yourself, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And there may be some things I struggle with, but I am not going to repeat the cycle. That is not my destiny. That is not my future. That is not where I'm going in life. I refuse to repeat it. I refuse to get caught in it. I am stepping forward. I will be different with the power of God within my life. Speaking to yourself. The way that we speak to ourselves, if you want to change your life, change the words that you speak. Small changes in the words you speak will lead to big changes in the life that you have. I want to give you two principles. The first one, and this is the way, your mother was right, you know. When she said, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. As a general rule. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it in the New Living, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Notice that? Foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear you. I read this and I'm challenged. The first part, I'm a Christian. I don't want to use foul or abusive language. The second part I find even more challenging. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He's identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Look at verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness. We talked about that last week. Rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. The Message put Ephesians 4:29 like this. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. And then let's go to verse 31. In the Message, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Wow. When I was a child, my mother... You know, my wife reminded me yesterday, how long ago that's been. But back in the day, some of you have experienced this. If you said a bad word and she heard it, it was the taste of ivory soap. Anybody here, you've 99.99% pure, baby. Then, you know, now today they might think it was child abuse, but it's a long time ago and all that. And so, there are three boys in my family. Two of us are like 16 months apart. The other one is late life child. And he's 9 years younger than I am. And so, the two of us and all our buddies would be around, and I don't know how my mother could hear through the open window. And it would be... Come in the house. Did you say, no, Mom, we didn't. She said, I heard you through the window. It must have been somebody else. I know your voice. Then she discovered that soap wasn't bad. You know, like soap just didn't do the job because, you know, you can acquire a taste for soap. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody here, you know, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about voluntarily now. I'm just saying, you know, please don't go and say, Pastor has a really weird problem. He likes soap. But you know what I mean? You've gotten soap before. It gets so it's not so bad. So then she tried cloves. You know, really, though, you can acquire a taste for cloves. She thought she would try pepper, but you know, I mean, really, come on. It's not that bad. I think she was reaching for desperation. Anybody here ever get the pepper treatment? Nobody. I am going to talk to my mother after this. Yes, I'm going to. She may watch this. Hi, Mom. I have them blank out the last 3 minutes. But there are probably four kinds of language that Paul is talking about here in Ephesians. And let me just get right down to where we live for the next few moments. He's talking about, one version said, let no rotten talk come out of your mouth. And I want to talk about four kinds of language that I think the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Number one, he's talking about taking the name of the Lord in vain. That's one of the Ten Commandments. What he tells us is, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, but keep it holy. That means don't use the Lord's name in an empty way. It also describes expressions like Lord and God. And he's saying, don't use them in an empty way. They are part of worship. And so I think that what he's referring to, and I think we all would agree as Christians, you do not use the name of the Lord Jesus as just an expression. It's holy. It's the name by which you are saved. And we need to be very careful. You know, God Almighty. Just because we're mad or amazed. You know, anybody with a good marriage, you would never stomp on your wedding ring just because you got mad. And the name of Jesus is placed on your life in water baptism. It's sacred, it's precious, it's pure. We need to be very careful about the way that we treat the name of the Lord Jesus. The second thing is trivializing terrible realities. I think Paul would speak about this as being rotten language. Using words like hell, and damn, and damnation. You say, well, what's wrong with using those words? Let me just ask you, do you realize how horrible hell is? Do you realize when you tell somebody to go to hell, you're wishing on them the worst thing that could ever possibly happen in all of eternity? And that these wishes should never be a part of a Christian's life. We should never trivialize the horrible reality of hell or use a word like that for a punctuation mark, whether you're talking about sports or politics or just life. To speak of damnation means to speak of somebody's eternal destiny. Let me challenge you as a Christian that our language should reflect the language of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And the language of the Holy Spirit would never wish anybody to go to hell. They would never trivialize damnation. And you know, I find it even hard to use the word standing here as an example, so I'm not going to. But expressions like, I will be. What the? And can I just say this? That when you say what the, and you don't fill in the rest of it, everybody's thinking it, and you know what? Your language reflects who you are. Can I be any clearer than this? Am I okay, Brother Duane? You think I'm doing okay? Thank you. You can't see him, but he's giving me the nod and saying yes up here. I want to challenge us all that the language and the words that we speak reflect who we are. And as Christians, I am supposed to will people to go to heaven, not to hell. You know, if you're a guest here today, next week I will be on a different subject. But we're not supposed to will evil for people. We're not supposed to trivialize things that are of eternal value and importance to make an expression. That's what the world does. That's not the way that a Christian ought to speak. Because we have Christ within our hearts. The Holy Spirit works within us to make not only my thoughts and actions pure, but to make my language pure. Let me go on. That's two. The third one is referencing sex and the body in vulgar ways. I think that Paul is referencing here vulgar references to sex and to the human body. The kind of language where people take good things that God has made and use them like mud to smear on anything they're upset about. You know, the whole assumption behind the use of four-letter words, vulgar four-letter words, is that they communicate scorn or disdain or hate. And how does that happen? You know, God created the sexual relationship as a blessing for a married couple. When we trivialize that, how does it get translated into a four-letter word that carries the meaning of hate and scorn? The answer is easy. First, you get God out of your mind. That's fundamental to all kinds of vulgarity. And then you get the sanctity of His creation out of your mind. And then you replace all that is tender and good with that which isn't. And then you've got yourself a four-letter word which verbally does the same thing. It expresses selfish, uncaring abusiveness. And can I just say, for those of you who are here today and you're looking for a spouse, don't spend 2 minutes with a guy that uses that kind of language. And guys, don't waste your time if a young lady uses that kind of language. The Bible teaches us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, it's really quiet in here. The F word should never be a part of a Christian's vocabulary. Even our world looks at it and says it's uncouth and vulgar. And Paul said, don't let vulgar and profane words come out of your mouth. I'm not getting a lot of amens. We're not shouting right now, but I hope you're getting this because I don't want to have to say it twice this week. I'm as dead serious can be. That the language that we speak reflects our values. It reflects who we are. And as a Christian, we are supposed to speak words of blessing, not words of cursing. We are supposed to speak words that heal, not words that hurt. And you cannot speak those words that I've mentioned and heal. You cannot do it. The Holy Ghost calls us to a higher level of communication. Number four, speaking in mean-spirited ways. I'm going to bring this to a close in just a couple of minutes. Mean-spirited language. This may not be curse words, but mean-spirited, where the usage is vicious and loveless. You know, when I was growing up, we weren't allowed to tell anybody to shut up. Anybody remember that? You were brought up that way? If you told someone to shut up, wow, you got shut up real quick. I think that was one of those soap expressions. The words that we speak. Let's go to Ephesians 5:4. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip. Oh, I don't have time to get into this morning. You know, it used to be gossip was on the telephone. Now gossip is by instant messenger and WhatsApp and all Facebook. And, you know, as Christians, you do not have time to know all the bad things about everybody. When you fill your mind with that, you are taking up space that could be filled with good things. One of the best things that could happen to some people is that they lose the access to Facebook and to Instagram and WhatsApp and Snapchat and all the rest of these things. Because you're bottom diving. You know, people go looking for dirt. And if you look for dirt, dirt you will find. That's why I don't have a lot of Facebook friends. You know why? When I get up to preach, I don't want to preach because of Facebook. I want to preach because I've been in this book. And so if you send me a Facebook request, I don't have a lot of Facebook friends. Because I don't want to get angry too. And so if I'm stepping on your toes this morning, it's not because I've been reading your Facebook profile. But I felt like this is something that's important to us. Look at this. Gossip. You know, you can't talk evil about everybody and expect them to be your friend. It always comes around. Look at this. Christians have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Instead of talking evil about somebody, what would happen if you spoke life-giving words? If you began to look at one good quality in that person's life instead of the bad quality you've been majoring on, and you said, I'm going to speak life-giving words. Expressing thanks is life-giving. To others, it's life-giving. To yourself, it's refreshing. Now here's, I got to close with this principle. If you think something good, the first one is, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything. The second one, if you think something good, say it. Say it. You know, guys, if you're thankful that your wife is so good to you, say it. Ladies, if you're proud of your husband, say it. Well, they know. That's a guy thing. Well, you know, they know because I'm there, right? Like, I'm a guy. Say it. Get those words out of your mouth. You know, there's three little words in a relationship. I got to close. Three little words in a relationship that are so vital if you're married or that'll help your relationship immensely. Three little words. I guess in French it's still three words, but it's got an apostrophe in there. I love you. Say it. You know, if you're the strong, silent type, that first time it might go, and ladies, if he starts to say that, just give him time. And ladies, coming back the other way, it never hurts either. You know what? If you put something in the offering, that right there was worth whatever you put in the offering. Magic words. In French, je t'aime. I love you. You know, to our children, we think, oh, they just know I love them. Have you told your child lately that you love them? Have you told your mom or dad lately that you love them? Words that are life-giving. Words that heal and not hurt. I stand with me as we get ready to close. Proverbs 16:24 said, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And if you'll notice, it's not thoughts, it's words. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain, he didn't say talk about the mountain. He said, if you speak to the mountain. He didn't say if you think about it. He said, speak to it. In Ezekiel, the Lord took Ezekiel out to a valley full of dry bones. And he said, prophesy to the dry bones. Speak to them. He didn't say, think about it. He said, speak to them. If you want to see it, I don't think I put this on the PowerPoint, but if you want to see it, you say it. If you want to see it, you say it. If you want to improve a relationship that's been struggling, start saying life-giving words and mean it. Life-giving. Find something good about that person and say it. It will not only change them eventually, it will change you. In your own life, to take the language of faith, God, I believe you're going to work in my life. God, I believe you're going to heal. God, I believe you're going to bring victory. God, I just believe it. Your thoughts matter because they become your words. They become your habits, and it forms your destiny. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me right now as we pray. Lord Jesus, today, we come with thanksgiving and thankful hearts for your goodness in our lives. And Lord, we come to speak that dialect of thanksgiving. Lord, not only today, but Lord, every day of our lives. I pray that you will plant within us a thankfulness, Lord, for all the things that you have done. But Lord, a thankfulness that transforms the way that we interact with others around us. And Lord, the language that we use, that it would not be life-taking, but that it would be life-giving. Lord, I pray even in those times when we need to give correction, or even in those times where we need to be firm, that our language will always be life-giving. I pray that in our homes, Lord, that you would inspire us to use language that gives life. I pray, Lord, in our workplaces, language that gives life. I pray, Lord, among our Christian friends and among our neighbors, Lord, that there would be language that gives life. Lord, that speaks life. Lord, I pray here today that you would challenge each one of us. Lord, that if our language has been impure, if our language has not been right, Lord, if our language has just been language that takes life, I pray in Jesus' name that you, Lord, you said that your Spirit would convict us of our sin. And Lord, your Spirit always turns us to you. Today I ask you that you would do that right now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be turned to you. I pray that our language will be that which is godly and edifying. Lord, with that note of thanksgiving always in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a time of prayer and praise. And I know that we're later than usual. But you know, when it comes to our relationship with God, words have so much power. There's the power of confession that says, Jesus, I have sinned and I'm sorry for my sin. And he promises us that when we do that, he'll take away our sins. There's the power of words at water baptism as the name of the Lord Jesus is called over our lives. There's the power of words as we receive the baptism of the Spirit and begin to speak in words that he inspires. But there's the power of words as we minister to one another, not only in the church building, but outside, as we speak words of encouragement and help and hope and faith that change people's lives. Would you join me in singing this song? It just says, change my heart, oh God. Would you join me in singing this song and just make it a prayer to the Lord? That Lord, you'd make me to always be more like you.
Change my heart, oh.